Welcome to another episode of Integrity Matters by Turnitin. My name is Jux, and with me in the house today is Mohammed Zudi of UIN Jakarta. Mohammed, can you tell us a bit about your academic background, your role as head of quality assurance, and your area of focus as a researcher?
And hello, everyone. My name is Mohammed Zudi. I'm senior lecturer at the Faculty of Education, UIN Sharifita. And I'm also currently serving as the head of quality assurance of the university. My research is on education, especially curriculum and instruction, specifically on curriculum in Islamic schools. As the head of quality assurance, my role is setting the standard of the quality of the university, so teaching and learning. And I am also working with the national body for accreditation, the university accreditation in Indonesia. So all of my departments. We currently have 78 departments all over university, and I'm overseeing all the departments in terms of their quality and accreditation status with the National Accreditation Body of Indonesia.
Thank you for that introduction. Just moving on to your role in assurance, how do you describe quality assurance as it pertains to education and your role?
The university exists because of students. Its main job, its main duty is to serve students in university to have a good education and good services, and to make sure that they will graduate as a new person with a lot of experiences in at the university. So quality assurance on how things with services, for example, we oversee how the departments develop their curriculum, are delivered to students, and the quality of the lectures, how the lecturers and professors are working in terms of serving their students. Can I oversee all those things to make sure that academic services for students works well?
Thanks for sharing that broad description of your quality assurance. Now let's moving on. Like you've mentioned, the university exists to serve students and educate them. What is your approach to measuring quality of learning, and how do you create a culture of quality learning and teaching at UIN?
Yes, first of all, university has created standard for the learning activities. Every lecturers, professor, before their doing their job as teachers, they have to prepare the learning plan. We call it RPS. It's more than syllabus. It's syllabus, but also explain very detailed how things going to work during the courses. So that's the start. Every courses or every subject that the teachers have to teach, they have to have a sort of contract with students. To make sure all students understand the objectives of the course and now how they are going through the courses along the semester. So all the lecturers have this, the learning plan. And the second one is we have the online academic system. We call it Academic Information System or AIS. The system of the lecturers' activities and the students' activities. And we want to make sure that all involved and the lecturers are actively teaching the students. And we work together with the faculties, with the department. So have an annual quality meeting, and that's where the departments and faculty report the progress of their services to students.
Thanks for sharing your approach there. I just want to piggyback on the thought of the learning plan. And I know that part of creating a learning plan is academics engaging with library services and resources to create that learning plan. Now, with the pandemic, which we are currently facing, how has this impacted library studies, and how has UIN pivoted to support its academics and learners?
Yes, we actually, to be honest, we're not prepared to face this pandemic, but we have to do this, and we have to find solution, because it was in the middle of the term. At the beginning, it was shocking for both lecturers and students as well, and even for the administrations, how to better serve students. Luckily, we are in the era of technology. Some professors are already familiar with Google Classroom, with Zoom meeting, with Google meeting. And also our professors and students as well already started to be familiar with online resources, library online resources. You know, it's easy to get a lot of resources online. At the beginning of September, all the professors more ready than in the previous semester. So our library are still open, to serve students. So students still can come to the library, certainly with health protocols. But a lot of students are not in the area of the university because we're an urban area. A lot of students are coming from different regions of Indonesia, from different locations of Indonesia, and it's quite distant. So a lot of students are staying at their homes. So they can only access the online resources, and our library facilitates, you know, some online resources as well for our students.
Well, that's really good to hear that students can come to the university they choose to. Moving to a different aspect, which is actually with students engaging with the online resources the library has provided, what are some best practices educators can adopt in fostering greater integrity while assessing learners?
Well, the Indonesian government has a regulation of anti-plagiarism that, you know, spread all over universities. And our university has adopted the anti-plagiarism from the government. So it's mandated for all the lecturers and professors to make sure that their works, the professor's own work, there's no plagiarism on their works, and also to ensure that all the works of the students are free from plagiarism. Normally, we have paperwork for students, and they also have to write a final work, and we apply some sort of anti-plagiarism check for all students' works, especially for the final works, to make sure that their final works are free from plagiarism. So every lecturers and professor are quite work together to make sure that integrity of professors' own works and also as well as students' work are plagiarism.
That's really good to hear that they use an anti-plagiarism check for both educators and students alike. With that comes the need for taking into consideration the need for student satisfaction. What are some best practices for offering creative ways for academics to understand, design, and evaluate for that level of quality UIN is aiming at?
Well, not every student are happy with the regulation because with the online resources that can easily be accessed with students, some students still try to copy paste some online research into their own works, and every lecturers have to make sure that students are working through their works with their integrity. And it's a quite a job. Professor has to be really careful. Sometimes we might miss some of the students' works, but at the end, I met with some of the alumni who proudly said that it was very tough to work with their final paper, with the final works. It was very tough because all the requirements is very high. But at the end, it made them proud because when they have to face the real works in their respective institutions, and they can be proud as an alumni of our university because they can come alumni of other universities that they said, we can work better than others. That's what I heard.
Okay, thanks for sharing that. Now, with the current situation, which is the pandemic, most courses have had to move into an online framework. Now, within the UIN, when thinking about applying research in education, what theories come to mind that support successful delivery of quality courses in the online space?
You know, I just released an article with colleagues from Victoria University and New England University in differentiation.com. You might find our article there. One of the problem is actually the generational gap between students and professor. So I think the theory of digital citizen and digital immigrant is very important to note, because you know, when I prepare an online course, most of our senior professor actually moving or transferring their manual course or face-to-face course into an online media, while our students, they already very sort of things of online services, online shopping and everything else. They can compare how the online services with courses, and there's a lag between those, meaning that the online courses are still be improved. So we continue to work on improving the skills of the lecturers to facilitate online learning, and it takes a lot of time, because not only are a lot of professors are not quite familiar speaking online media, but also how to make sure that the media that the professors and the lecturers are creating are relevant with the needs of the students. So I think that's what the most important thing.
Amazing. I am really looking forward to reading the article on the conversations that come, and I want to applaud the university's strategy of adopting theories around generational gap and digital citizen. But with that, and you've also touched on this in terms of looking at how we design or rethink the current face-to-face courses for online delivery. What is the university or your approach in educating pre-service and in-service teachers to have a better understanding on educational issues? You talked about it in terms when you mentioned generational gap and specifically curriculum and learning.
Indonesian government has a new approach to teacher education. We previously, what we have is we have a program that joined together between academic and teacher preparation program. So we have one bachelor degree on teacher education. But our government changed the regulation. Now we have to push between academic courses or academic program, education program. All the pre-service teacher have to pass through the teacher professional education program for 1 year after they're finishing their bachelor degree in education. Now, our Faculty of Education at the UIN Syarif Hidayatullah Jakarta, we have 16 or study program that prepare pre-service teachers. Although we have the professional education for teachers, but we still introduce them with educational issues and practices at the bachelor program. So we combine the content, let's say math teacher education. We combine the content of math and make sure that the students have the proper understanding of math to be a teacher. And we also teach them about the educational aspect of how to teach math as an introduction. And then at the level of professional education, the student will learn how to teach math in practice. So in the bachelor program, they learn about how to teach math theoretically in the classroom. But during the professional education program, pre-service teacher program, they will learn mostly in at school. So we have academic and classroom university experience in terms of theory and practice, and with the bachelor program. And then we have more practical experiences in the schools with the professional teacher development program.
Wow, that's very exciting. Very keen to see how that works in terms of knowing that most courses will most likely go online, and how, in addition to teaching theory in practice, and which I am assuming would focus more on face-to-face delivery, would also include some elements of teaching in the online space as well. So to bring us to the end of today's conversation is knowing that the pandemic has had an impact on how we are reimagining and rethinking education in all sectors. How do you envision education will change post-pandemic, and what role do institutions play in ensuring that academics are ready and have the wherewithal to do great work?
Yes, let me go back to the issue of how we prepare our pre-service teachers. The Indonesian government, our university is under the Minister of Education as well as Minister of Religious Affairs. The government has created an online space for teacher education program. So they have, even before the pandemic, we already have online courses. So we combine the online and face-to-face learning for all those who are joining the professional development courses for pre-service teachers and the in-service teachers as well. So in terms of how things will change after the pandemic, I think the pandemic has done something very important. You know, a lot of universities, a lot of schools have already familiar with digital learning and online resources, but hesitantly use that because teachers, educators, professors, they are more convenient in having face-to-face learning. And a lot of us as educators will say, there's no such thing as digital learning that can be face-to-face learning because you have to have some sort of human interactions. But the pandemic taught us things have to change. You know, digital learning is here to be used. Online learning already exists. It's here to stay. The only problem is how about the generational gap, like myself, can be more familiar with the online learning, and more courses will be offered online. And I believe in the future, universities will have more space online compared to physical spaces. There might be some, you know, not transfer process that need to be doing face-to-face, but I think most of the courses can be delivered online, and this is something that all universities have to prepare. I spoke to my colleagues at the university. All universities, the competition is not only local, the competition is global. You know, universities in Australia can attract students from Indonesia without the student have moved to Australia. And our university can take students from Australia as well without having them moving to Indonesia. We don't need a visa, we don't need to travel. So all universities have to be prepared with such a service and with such kind of competition with other universities. There's no excuse, there's no way to run away from that. And the key for that is the quality assurance. The university has to have good quality assurance to make sure that all courses, all learning to be offered online.
That is an absolute truth there in terms of how things will change post-pandemic. And I'm very curious to see how this all plays out in terms of internationalization of the curriculum as well. So I want to say thank you so much for coming on today's session and sharing your thoughts on everything quality assurance, best practices and applied research in education, and also educating us on how things are going with the educational sector in Indonesia and how your university in particular are working to support both academics and students. Thanks everyone for joining us in today's session, and thank you again, Mohamed. We look forward to other collaboration.
Thanks.
Thank you.